Amen. Have a seat. You know, when Pastor Dan, I believe, asked me, hey, can you share this a while back, maybe a month ago, can you share this particular day? I said, sure, I mean, that sounds great. Sure, I'm a month away, I can think about it. But the moment he told me, God gave me the word in the heart. So for a month, this thing has been brewing in my heart, and I don't know how to get it out, but we'll walk through it together and get it out. But it's just such a crucial thing. Now, here's what's funny, and this usually happens, and most preachers will tell you this. For the last month, every other pastor has been building on the same topic. So I'm like, man, these guys are not leaving me any verse to talk about. This is just wrong right there, you know? I mean, from Pastor Luke talking about faith and Pastor Ann talking about ministering love and just that continuation. Pastor Jim started it in July talking about being encouraged and how to maintain that. I mean, it just went on and on. And I want to talk about a subject that I just named or labeled, stay connected. Stay connected. And it's so important to stay connected. My brother-in-law, my wife's brother, he used to work as a Dell computer support tech. And when we were single, we share an apartment, a house together, and he would tell me the craziest story of people who would call Dell tech support and all these things. I mean, he would say, yeah, because as a tech support, you cannot hang up on somebody. You have to be nice and polite. And, you know, this lady called him up and said, hey, you know what? I just bought a sewing machine. And he said, well, ma'am, Dell builds a lot of things, but sewing machine is not one of them. So thank you. You know, he's trying to be polite and just be nice. But one lady in particular called and said, hey, I bought a printer from you guys, and I'm really upset. I mean, I got ink, I put paper, it's obviously turned on, so what's going on? How come it's not working? So he's going through the steps, and he's thinking about, okay, it's got ink, it's got paper, the power is on. And then he asked a crucial question to the lady. He said, ma'am, have you connected your printer? And the lady was like, well, no. And this is before Wi-Fi, okay? Nowadays, it's like nobody connects a printer. They're talking about 1999, okay? And so the lady was just like, oh, I needed to connect the printer. Connect the printer. Sure enough, print the test page and the page comes out. And for a lot of us, to be honest, many of us, we have paper, we have ink, we have power, but we're not connected to the right place. And when you're not connected to the right place, you cannot produce or give out what you were intended for. Do you hear what I'm saying? The printer was intended to print information from the computer, but if it's not connected to the computer, it couldn't work. 13 years ago, nowadays they work Wi-Fi, just kidding. But for all of us, that's important, okay? And it's so crucial. Connections are critical in our lives. What you connect to, the people you hang out with, all of that. The Word of God just shares so enormously and talks about that. I want to talk about two connections that I saw in the Word of God that were absolutely brilliant and just gripped my heart because it showed what you connect to really makes a difference. Let's start in Deuteronomy 34. That's the last chapter of the last first book of the Testament that Moses wrote, Deuteronomy, or at least they're mentioned from Moses, 34. And we'll go from there into a very interesting story. Now, I want you to know that Moses was one of those guys who spent so much time with the right connection. Moses was absolutely connected to the Lord. I've already shared a little bit when God's holiness manifested. I mean, Moses was there. Moses was a friend that was close to God. Moses was a person that spends the right time with the right connection constantly. And this is what it says about Moses. It's such a brilliant verse. Deuteronomy 34:7 says, Moses was 120 years old when he died. 120. Anybody would say nowadays that is a long life by any means, any stretch, any standard. Now watch this. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. I don't know if you catch that, but this guy was 120 years old. And he didn't have to put the paper on the floor to be able to read it without his bifocals. You know what I'm saying? I mean, his eyes were not dim. He wasn't going like this. He was bright. And it said his vigor did not diminish, which means you didn't want to get in a fight with Moses at 120 years old. He was still going. And that is so brilliant because it shows me that if you spend time with the right connections, doing the right things where God wants you to be, there will be a blessing and a benefit to your life that is far beyond the stretch of your years. And you know what? When God gave me this message is for probably many people who aren't here today. And the reason why I believe this message is so important is because God doesn't want you to quit. God doesn't want you to give up. God wants you to continue and push through, but you have to be connected to the right place in order to draw power and to do what God is wanting you to do. And it's so important because Moses was such an amazing guy. I mean, look what it continues saying. I'm going to read of the New Living Translation, verse 10 through 12. You can read in the overhead, it says, there has never been another prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. The right connection with the right timing, the right connection. Verse 11, the Lord sent him to perform all the miraculous signs and wonders in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh and all his servants and his entire land. Verse 12, with mighty power, Moses performed terrifying acts in the sight of all Israel. Wow. Here's Moses, did amazing things, all because of the level of connection he had with God. All because of the level of connection he had obtained, he had worked for, he had done. So many times, here's what happens in Christianity, especially modern Christianity. Many people are looking for signs. Everybody's looking for signs. Yet Moses looked for connection that brought along the signs and wonders in his life. It says he did terrifying things. Terrifying things. I mean, I don't know about you, but if I see a guy hit the water and the ocean opens in two, that freaks me out. That's just weird. Yet Moses did that, did it in front of Israel to prove that God was a powerful God. And it's so important for us to understand that connections are very, very important. Now, here's what happened. Moses dies, and the very next book, Start a Story, chapter 1 of the book of Joshua, right there, probably one of the most famous passages of scripture. So if I sound a little cliche tonight, it's because it's just so popular, but I believe we're going to get something out of it that's going to be really good for all of us. Joshua then begins. And then Joshua 1 says, hey, you know, my servant Moses, hey, Joshua, I'm going to pick you. You're his assistant. You're with him. So let's read the story, and then I'm going to give you three things that God showed me. Verse number 2, Joshua 1 says, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, and you and all his people, to the land which I'm giving them, the children of Israel. Verse 3 says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites and the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. What a promise. What a promise. No man, nobody shall be able to stand. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. So God is saying, man, something good is coming your way. It's going to be awesome. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I'm promising that I'm going to be with you. The guy who did those great things to Moses, I'm going to do that through you also. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage. For this people shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers that I will give them, or to give them. Verse 7, only be strong and courageous once again, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? I love that. Have I not commanded? Didn't I tell you? Be strong and of good courage. Three times so far he said it. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So here's God just spells out an amazing promise and says, hey, Joshua, listen, I had a great man. His name was Moses. We did amazing things. But I want you to know that I've selected you, and I'm going to do the same thing with you. So God is offering a connection. God is saying, I want to connect with you. See, for all of us in our Christian walk, The end result is not the problem, because the end result is already done. I believe Pastor Nan taught us that. Salvation is not something to work for. It's already purchased. It's already done. So you and I do not live our life, not all of it, we have to maintain our salvations, but we don't live our lives necessarily, all of it, to purchase salvation. It's already done. It's already done. Are you with me? So basically, let me put it to you this way. Here's what God told Joshua. Hey, Joshua, I am the owner of a bank. And so Joshua goes in and said, hey, I would like a loan. And the banker says, absolutely, no problem. You have the loan. Why would the banker say you have the loan? Because the banker knows there's a ton of money in the vault. But then the banker says something to Joshua. He said, I just need one thing from you. I got to check your references. I got to know your connections. And I need you to deliver a few things for me before you have access to all this money that you're wanting. So the end result is not the problem. It's not your salvation. It's not the fact that God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. You have to get that in mind. You have to get that in your heart. Actually, I heard something brilliant. The person said, the problem is that God is not that God wants to bless you. It's that we are responsible for maintaining the blessing. We are responsible for maintaining the blessing. See, God already, he's done it. And that's what God is telling Joshua. He said, hey, the issue is not that you're going to get the land. The issue is not that I'm going to defeat your enemy. That's not the problem. The problem is, can you maintain the course and stay connected? Can you do that for me? And guys, for all of us today in this church, that's the question. Can I stay connected? If there's one thing I did in my Christian walk and still doing, is that I never walked away. I mean, I had my lows in Christianity. I had my lows in coming up in the church. I had my lows and difficulties, but I always knew if I stay connected, if I came to church service, if I went to youth group, if I went to camp, if I just made the effort to stay connected, if I went to a home group, if I called my friend and we pray together, that connection just kept me going, just kept the motor going and the wheels rolling. But a lot of people feel the connection go and they let go and it's a done deal. And God is saying, don't do that. You got to stay connected to get the benefits that I want from you. Because you've already loaded. You have paper, you have ink, you have power. But you need the right connection to print the right information that God wants you to do. That's the reality for all of us. So tonight, let's look at three things that God offered and explained to Joshua that were so amazing. How to stay connected. Stay connected, number one, to Jesus. Stay connected, number one, to Jesus. It is one thing to say, I love God. And that's a wonderful thing. He is our Father and all that. But it's a different thing to stay connected to Jesus. You know why? Until I started understanding this, it transformed my life. Actually, Pastor Deborah teaches that plenty. Because to understand the difference of the connection to Jesus, see, Jesus was the one who came. Being God, became like me, suffered like me, was tempted like me, yet survived it to give me a way for me to continue to live my Christian life. He showed me a way. He had to pray and stay connected to the Father. So Jesus is saying, hey, listen, I've lived and gone through what you've gone through. If you've been disappointed, I was disappointed. If you felt alone, my Father left me alone on the cross. He lived every experience of the human existence so that we can have a successful Christian walk. Are you with me? And it's so important for us to know that, because your connection with Jesus is completely different when you see God as a Father. See, when we see God as a Father, there's a reverence to it. There's a largeness of God. But when I see Jesus, not only am I impressed by him, I am absolutely just so transformed in my mind that he would do that for me. That he would die on a cross for me. No one else has taken that level of pain for me. And it's so important for us to have that concept of Jesus. Connection to Jesus. Here's how God expresses for him. Read with me. Verse 7 says, only, this is God telling Joshua, only be strong and courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Moses is a representation, you know, the Old Testament, the New Testament, you have what they call types and shadows, things that reflect something in the Old Testament became something in the New Testament. And Moses is a reflection of Jesus. He delivered us from Egypt in our spiritual walk to take us to a new land, to give us a new purpose. And that is a representation. So he's saying, hey, listen, Moses, my servant, commanded you, follow everything he's telling you. I love this. I believe Pastor Luke alluded to this a few weeks ago, and I want to go back to it. John 15. Go with me to John 15. But mark Joshua, because we're going to go back there. If you have one of those little ribbon things, just put it in your Bible and go with me to John 15. Are you still alive out there? Okay. It's kind of quiet in here. This is not an amening service, but it's okay. John 15. Here's Jesus telling his disciples something at some point. He says, hey, listen, guys. I am the vine. You guys are the branches. My Father is the one who cares for it. So he's using the life as a representation of what we should do, of a connection. He's saying, here's the connection. I'm a tree. You guys are the branches. And then starts telling them what they need to do. Here we go. Verse 4 says, abiding me, that word abide means just stay connected. So whenever you see abide, just substitute it with connection. So Jesus said, abide in me or connect in me, stay connected to me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Here's the kicker. Neither can you unless you abide in me. And for many Christians in modern day today, we want results. We want our Christian life. Pastor, and one of the reasons that motivated this message for me, just forget that. One of the reasons that motivated this message for me is the fact that I wanted, and I was hearing and talking to so many people in counseling that kept saying, Pastor, I'm ready to quit. Pastor, I was coming to church and I haven't been back to church in 6 months. And so look, I'm struggling here and there. Here's your solution. How can you have fruit unless you're connected to God? To Jesus. He himself said, neither can you unless you abide in me, unless you're connected to me. And I want to invite you tonight that you think about that as you're here meditating tonight and think, I need to connect with Jesus. I need to connect with his reality at church, through a friend, through a conversation. Just understand what he is, understand what he wants me to do. Here's what Jesus continues to say. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. We've established that. Then he says, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can't do what? You can do nothing. You can do nothing. So Jesus is saying, listen, you got to stay connected to me. I want to ask you this question. I want you to think about it. I believe everybody in this place wants blessings and fruit in their life. Everybody. Here's the reality. If you're disconnected from Jesus, it's not going to happen. Not because I'm saying it, not because I wish it upon you, but because Jesus himself, if you have a Bible with red letters, this is Jesus talking. He's saying, if you're not connected to me, to my purposes, to what I desire for you, you are not going to get the results that you are wanting in your life. You're not going to get the results. So don't disconnect from Jesus. Don't walk away from him. Stay connected to him, to his sacrifice, to him as a person, to what he did. How do I do that? How do you do that? I love reading the book of John. Just as we read, because John expresses Jesus, he is the beloved disciple, in a manner that you and I can say, that's what I want. I want that connection with Jesus. And it's so important for all of us to do that. I know some men might be saying, man, that sounds weird. This guy's preaching with a pink shirt and talking about being connected to Jesus. I'm all man, dude. Don't judge, okay? I'm just kidding. It's so important for you and I to understand that that connection is absolutely a transforming factor for all of us. So God told Joshua, listen, you got to stay connected. Here's the next connection that he says, stay connected to the word. Stay connected to the word. Here at this church, we place a great value on the word, great value on the word of God. And we do it for a reason. And that reason is because it has the power to transform us. It represents the map that guide us to a successful future. If you want a successful future, this is your map. This is your reality. This is what you do. I think I've shared with you, I'm not sure, but my wife told me a story that was so amazing. She's got a cousin who's now a pastor. And this cousin, he was in gangs. He was doing all kinds of stuff in Las Vegas where they grew up. And he just decided one day to start reading the book of Proverbs. And from reading the book of Proverbs on his own, he gave his heart to the Lord. And this day he's a pastor. Nobody preached to him. I mean, even though there's Christians in his family and he can see the example of God, he just took the word. And the word of God convicted him. The word of God transformed him. The word of God showed him a map to his life. The word of God started teaching him. The word of God placed great value. He connected with it and obtained the result that the word of God is designed for you. It is a map for your successful future. That's the reality for all of us. And it's so important that you and I do that, that we connect with the Word of God. Pastor, but the Bible is hard to understand. Buy a different version, whatever it may be, that it's understandable for you. Don't give that excuse. Buy a different version. New Living Translation. There's a million of them so that you can get the Word of God. Nowadays, more than anything, there's availability. My sister's a missionary in South America and Peru in the jungles. And one of her projects is she's helping translate the Bible for a tribe called the Urarinas. And it's a tribe deep, deep in the jungle. Now, think about this. Here's somebody working to translate the Bible and to tell people about God, and they don't even have a Bible. And we have like 100 translations. I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but I am. I want you to feel bad. I want you to get any translation that works and read it. Just get it. Just get it and say, God, speak to me. I need the roadmap for my life. I need to stay connected to the Word. Let the Word speak to me. Let the Word work in my life. It is so important. I cannot express the importance of that. That's why in this church we make such an investment in preaching and such an investment in teaching, because it is important. But there is something God tells Joshua that goes along this that is a little different. Let's go there. 1:8. Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8 says the following. I lost it. Here we go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Oh, we understand that. I mean, we teach that all the time, that you should meditate the book of the law, what God has given to Moses, and Moses prays that you should meditate in it day and night. And so you're thinking about it. You wake up with a verse in your mind. You go to bed with a verse in your mind. You're trying to maintain the Word of God fresh in your life. That's why you come to church and you hear 30, 35 minutes of teaching, sometimes twice a week. We ask you to do that so that you can get as much. Sometimes you watch other channels and other preachers. You're trying to get the Word of God in you. Here's what God does that is so interesting. He says, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Now listen, if God wanted Joshua just to listen to the Word of God, he would have left it at that. But he didn't. He said, I want you to meditate in it day and night, but I also want you to do according to what is in it. And that is the difference between successful Christians and non-successful Christians. That is the difference. The difference is people can know a lot of information, but not all of them are doing the information that they get. And I was actually teaching a little bit about this in our Spanish service. And it's so important. When I went to college, I had classes that were about half hour to an hour. For every hour of theory I took, I needed to do 2 to 4 hours of lab. For every hour. So let me put it to you this way. For every half hour you sit and listen to a message, you got to get out there and do 2, 3, 4 hours of practice in your own life and every day. Are you with me? So I'm challenging, because if our teachers in school understand that that's important, don't you think God knows that? And that's what he told him. He said, hey, listen, meditate in day and night. That's a wonderful thing. But what I really want you to do is that you observe to do according to all that is written in it. All that is written in it. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and the scribes and talking to the people. Now, Jesus is brilliant, because when you read the story, it's so interesting, because Jesus literally insults the Pharisees and then they invite him to dinner. I want to pull that off someday. I want to just tell you like it is and then you buy me dinner. Let's go. It's crazy. It's a crazy passage of the Bible. But Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. And it's just, I mean, letting them have it, because these guys, they knew the word. I mean, they had disciples, but they were just they weren't doing what they're supposed to do. And it's so brilliant, because this is what the Word of God says. If you read it with me in Matthew 23:1-3, I have it in the New Living Translation, so I'm going to change a little bit because I love how it says it here. It says, then Jesus said to the crowd, Matthew 23:1-3, then Jesus says to the crowd and to his disciples. I love that Matthew makes a separation. See, because many times when we read the Word of God and when we teach it, we think, well, that's for them and not for me. Jesus said, it's for them and you 12. Listen to what I'm about to say. Listen to what I'm about to say. And then he tells them, he goes and says, the teachers of religious law, meaning the scribes, and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. What did God tell Joshua to keep? The law of Moses. So Jesus is saying, these guys are the doctorate, the scholars, the brilliant, the PhDs on the law of Moses. Nobody knows more than them. So here's what Jesus says. So, since they're so brilliant, I want you to practice and obey. Can you say that with me? One, two, three. Practice and obey. One more time. One, two, three. Practice and obey whatever they tell you. Now listen to this. But don't follow their example, for they don't practice what they teach. Jesus said, those guys, they're brilliant. Man, they can teach you up anything you want. The PhD, they will break down the Bible, bam, 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 verse by verse, tell you how it is. But when they are done teaching, they're doing a disaster with their life. Disaster with their life. They mistreat people. They steal from the widows. It goes on and on and on. And God said, it doesn't work that way. I cannot stand here and teach you something I'm not going to live. I can't. I'm a human. There's mistakes to be made. But the idea for us, especially teachers, is that the gap between what I say and what I do is very small. Are you with me? Very small. And so Jesus said, it's very small. And then he does something so amazing, because I love it how Matthew 7 says, in Matthew 7:29, it says that when Jesus was done, Jesus starts talking about the soil. And he says, those who do the word of God, you don't have to look for it, I'll put it up, but because I want to brief real quick. It says, those who do the word of God, I'm going to compare them as the one who planted his house on the rock. Remember that teaching? He says, if you do the word of God, you're building your house on the rock. That's brilliant. If you don't do the word of God, it's like planting your house or building a house on the sand. Problems come, things happen, and it'll get destroyed. Now, if you keep reading the story in Matthew 7, it says that when he was done, the people were amazed because he taught them with authority, not like the scribes. Now, here's how the Message Bible says it. I love it. Here's how it says. It says this. When Jesus concluded his address, the crowd burst into applause. They had never heard teaching like this. How is that possible? Hundreds, if thousands of years of ministers and teachers and prophets and people who told the word, yet it says that people have never heard the word this way. It was apparent. People can tell when you talk and don't do. It was apparent that he was living everything he was saying. Quite a contrast to the religion teachers. This was the best teaching they have ever heard. It's okay to be quiet. I was quiet. You know why? Because authority will grow in your life the moment you start doing what you're saying. Authority will start growing in your life the moment you start doing what you're saying. Pastor, my wife doesn't trust me because, I mean, I've been telling her, are you doing? See, if you do, all of a sudden she'll start seeing, he's not just telling me, he's doing. Pastor, I can't, you know, my wife, we're having this issue. Hey, don't keep telling the guy, just do it. My wife had to correct me. So to show you that I'm not perfect and I need to learn, obviously. I was telling my children, every time, you know, I'll say, hey, Friday, we're going to go to the park, or we're going to go to the beach, or we're going to go do this. And so Friday would come, or I'm exhausted, or whatever happened. And I'm like, oh, guys, you know, we'll do it another time. We'll do it another time. And then one day my wife pulled me in and said, you need to stop that. I said, stop what? What am I doing? I mean, were you telling the kids we're going to go somewhere and then you don't do it? I said, well, life, you know, there's problems in life. I can't always do everything I'm saying to do. Hey, don't laugh. So I said, I took note of that. I didn't like it at first. Most men don't like it, women, when you tell them at first, but then we think it through. So then I was, you know, I was really upset at first, and I just thought about it, and then I started changing my mode. I said, okay, if I'm going to tell them, I'm going to do it. I'm going to tell them, I'm going to do it. And I've been just trying to work on that. I'm not, thank you for the applause, but I'm not looking for applause. I'm still working on it. Ask me in a couple years. So we're doing this, right? And so the other day, I'm about to tell him something, kids, and all of a sudden, you see the wife elbow go out. I'm like, what? What? Don't say anything. All right. I won't say anything unless we're ready to do it, you know? And so it is so important. But the moment I started saying and doing, the authority with my children grew. The authority with my children grew. Because it is so important that when you do that, all of a sudden people are going to take you serious. So if you're struggling in your job, in your marriage, in your relationship, in your friendships, maybe you want to check that area of your life and say, am I losing authority because I'm saying a lot but doing very little? And Jesus is challenging us and told Joshua and said, Joshua, you're going to be successful. There's no doubt you're going to be successful. But before you're successful, you need to do one thing. You need to observe the law of Moses and do accordingly. He could have said, just observe it, just read it, just learn it. Says, I want you to do according to what is written in it. So if I connect to Jesus and I connect to the word, I am on my way to success. Are you with me tonight? The last one for tonight. Stay connected to your future. Stay connected to your future. I heard this expression from another preacher and I just loved it and thought it was so applicable to what we're teaching tonight. And when I'm talking about future, I'm talking about your hope, what God wants you to do in life. I read this quote that I love by Mike Tyson, even though he's not a philosopher, but the guy would know about this. Those men would know who Mike Tyson is. But Mike Tyson said this, he says, everyone has a plan until you get punched in the face. Everyone has a plan, so you see that swing coming at you, man. You have a plan until you get laid off. You have a plan until there's health issues. You have a plan until things don't go the way you thought. You have a plan until somebody insults you. You have a plan to be patient until somebody cuts you off on the freeway and the plan went out the window because you just got punched. See, you're trying to work on something, and then somebody are poking you in a way that's uncomfortable. Everybody has a plan until life comes and goes, bam, here you go. What are you going to do with it? And God starts working with Joshua and showing him something about his hope. You need to stay connected to your hope. Regardless of the punch that you've received, your hope is what's going to give you an understanding. It's going to give you life. It's going to keep you connected to God. You have to stay connected with that, with his promises. Amen? God is so good. You have to remind yourself every morning. There's morning, I never said this publicly, but before and sometimes I've struggled with depression. And so there's many days where I have to wake up and just remind myself of the word of God and just know that God's going to be good to me and just know that God is going to keep his promises to my children and my wife, that God is going to keep his purposes. And when we do that, we stay connected with our hope because he's going to be good. He's a good God. And if you're struggling in that area in your life, when you wake up in the morning, don't think about what's not happening. Just think about what God wants for you, because that is exactly what God told Joshua. He told him, Joshua, I want you to know that your future is bright if you stay connected to Jesus, if you do what I'm asking you to do, and if you stay connected to your future. Here's what God says. Verse 9 says, Joshua, have I not commanded you? This is what God is telling you tonight. He's saying, haven't I told you this? Haven't I written thousands upon thousands of pages of my promises for you? Have I not commanded you to be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. I want you to know that those are the two things that keep you away from your future. Fear and sadness. Fear and loss of hope. Those things keep you away from advancing. You're either afraid to take the step, or you took the step and now you feel disappointed. And God said, have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not fear, do not be disappointed. Just keep trucking. Just keep going. Why? He tells him, For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I will not leave you. For the Lord your God will go with you wherever you go. For the Lord your God will go with you wherever you go. Guys, there's a promise. That is a promise for you. That is a promise for me. That is a promise for all of us tonight. I want to end with this verse, which I read apart because it was very close to it. But verse is a promise that the Lord tells Jacob. Now listen to this. Jacob is a guy that has really suffered. Let me describe him to you. Jacob is the son of a dad who has two boys. Esau is his older brother. Esau is a man's man. The Bible says he's hurt. He's hairy. He loves to hunt. I mean, the guy is a man's man. He fishes in the wilderness. He rides his horse without a saddle. I mean, he's a man's man, okay? But this is what the Bible describes Jacob. Jacob was tender, soft, and was in the kitchen with his mom. That's the description. Now, anybody who's been described that way already is having to fight in life a lot of things. I mean, it's just like, man, I mean, this stuff started on the low end of the spectrum here, you know? This is hard because in a society where people judge you in that way, so Jacob had to fight every inch of his life from his mother's womb all the way through his life, had to fight, had to convince his brother stole, because he couldn't convince his brother stole his inheritance from his brother, his blessing. And finally his brother had and said, I'm going to kill you, man. You did something to me and it was wrong. I'm going to kill you. And his dad said, man, pack your bags. His mom said, pack your bags. Go to my brother. Get out of here. Find a wife over there. And on his way, Jacob is completely depressed and sad. Doesn't know what to do. And the Bible records what God does for him. But God told him such a beautiful word. And I want to end with this tonight. Genesis 28:15. And this is for you and I tonight. This is what God told Jacob while he's running for his life. He says, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will bring you back to your future. I will bring you back to your hope. I will bring you back to what I promised. Why? For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. I will not leave you until I have done what I've spoken to you. Church, God will not leave you until he does what he's spoken over you. And you have to secure that in your life and in your heart today. I don't know what he spoke to you, but he's saying, I will not leave you until I've done that. So every morning when you wake up and life has punched you in the face, you go back to whatever God told you and tell him, God, this is what you told me and this is what I believe. This is what you've said and this is what I believe, because you have the right connection. Church, I'll end with this. Stay connected in three ways in your life. Stay connected to Jesus. Stay connected to Jesus. Stay connected to his word. To do what his word says. To do what his word says. You got to stay connected. Stay connected to your future. Remind yourself of the goodness of God. Here's the challenge. If you feel disconnected, connect with God today. Connect with God today. If you misconnect in some of these areas, then reconnect with the Lord. Go back to reading your word. Go back to remind yourself what God is doing for you. Do not let life punch you in the face and keep you away from walking in everything God has given you. I hope he spoke to you tonight. Thank you, Lord.